bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, it's great to have you with us on the show today. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All of Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Great to have you with us on the show today. The Phillies are going to the coast, licking their wounds after being swept by the Yankees. Do I think the Yankees are good? Yes. Do I think they're great? Nope. But right now the Yankees are playing better. I think the win Saturday at Fenway over the Red Sox, where they looked like they were down and out, was a tremendous boost for them. I think Jazz Chisholm is a good player, is not a great player. I know he's off to a great start. There's a difference between a great start and a great player. He's off to a great start, but in the end, he really is only a good player. He'll help them. He'll help them. There's no question that Chisholm will help them, but he is not a, quote, great player. He's a good player. And I think over time, over the next 3 weeks, I think Yankee fans will find that out, that he'll have moments like, okay, and he'll have moments like, hey, all right, because he's good. Some days good, some days in. And Judge, to his credit, is having a phenomenal season. I don't take anything away from Judge in what he does in regular seasons, but there's going to have to come a point in his career where he has a postseason to remember. And he hasn't had that yet. And he's not a kid. Okay? People think like Judge is still a kid. He is not a kid. He's been in the majors now for a long time. And the Yankees haven't made the World Series. Now, he hasn't been there all, for the entirety of this, but it's been 15 years since they made the World Series. Like, actually played in it. I mean, it's been 15 years. Okay. I mean, just so you know, it's, you know, and he's been there for a good portion of it, and they haven't gotten there. And he's been part of the postseason reason why. He's going to have to overcome the postseason part of it. All right? Because as a regular season player, he is tremendous. And not only that, he's also, you know, we talk about the big bat, but he's a good fielder, too. Judge is a good baseball player. I mean, he's not just a one-dimensional guy that hits with power. Nope. Good fielder, good arm, runs good routes in the outfield. Pretty good runner on the bases, too. But there is going to have to be a point where in the postseason, when it matters the most, I mean, who would you rather have at the plate, bottom of the ninth inning, okay? Runner on base, down one. Who do you want at the plate? Aaron Judge or Kirk Gibson? Well, Kirk Gibson's not in the Hall of Fame. Who do you want at the plate? Well, I want Kirk Gibson. In the World Series, not just with the Dodgers, but with the Tigers as well. Remember that home run he hit against the Padres? Guess what? Okay, money on the table. Kirk Gibson produced. Okay. And that at-bat, by the way, against the A's was his only at-bat of the World Series. And you go back to 84 with the Tigers, he had homered against the Padres, helped put it away. I think it was in Game 5, put it away to win it. You'd rather have Kirk Gibson at the plate than Aaron Judge. Sorry. Oh, no, don't get all, like, to get worked up about this. There's a long list of guys I'd rather have at the plate right now, if you give me the choice between his postseason history and their postseason history, I'm picking the other guy. Why? Because they've produced and he hasn't. He has not produced in the postseason. That doesn't mean he can't this year. That doesn't mean he can't next year. Because you talk about talent, he's got talent. But remember, when you're in the postseason, you're facing the better pitching staffs, not just a starter. You're facing the better pitching staffs because they're the ones that got them to the postseason. You're facing the better bullpens on a consistent basis because they got them to the postseason in tough leverage situations. And so far, he hasn't handled it well. That's the next step for him. He has to overcome that. As a regular season player, man, he's right now, he's unparalleled. Right now. And the Phillies fans just saw that on a day-in and day-out basis for 3 days. He is just having a phenomenal season. Again. Credit where credit's due. Women's basketball team for the U.S. will play Belgium. And this is game two. Belgium lost to Germany by 14 in the opener. The United States beat Japan by 26 in the opener. And for context, in the last game that Belgium played before the Olympics, they played Japan, lost to them by one. So they will play this afternoon at 3 o'clock when the show's over. And they should win the game probably by 20. Katie Ledecky, phenomenal yesterday. As I said earlier, it was the human equivalent of Secretariat in the Belmont Stakes. Like, where are the other competitors? In fact, I think she was standing on the podium and some of them were still finishing. That's not good. That's a joke. Congratulations to her. And not only that, she says she wants to go in 28 in Los Angeles as well. And the U.S. rowing team won the first gold since, what, 1960? So far, we've been experts at finishing third. It's like, okay. And also, what's the other part? I think, is this the day of the women's? Yeah. The women's individual gymnastics? The all-around final is today in women's gymnastics. And golf gets underway with individual stroke play. So Scottie Scheffler, the reigning Olympic gold medalist Xander Schauffele, they're all playing today in Paris. So there you go. It's amazing how they've shown Steph Curry was at gymnastics. Well, can you believe he went? Well, what else is he supposed to do? He's been playing basketball. It's like, you need a break, don't you? What is the medal count right now? Just see, what is the medal count here? Do we have the medal count here somewhere? Because I know the United States has had some golds. What, they have five golds so far? Something like that. But we're good at finishing third. Let me see. Olympic medal count. Medal count 2024. Yada, yada, yada. The United States has 31 medals so far. So they have, to this point, 9 more medals than China. They also have right now four more medals. Let's give France, the host country, a lot of credit. 27 medals. Marchand's won three of the eight golds. They have 11 silvers, eight bronze. But here's the U.S. number. The U.S. number is, right, they have 31. Like, wow. But only six of them are gold. Like, China has 22 medals, half are gold. France has 27 medals, nearly a third are gold. Japan is half of theirs, a little bit more than half are gold out of their 15. Australia is nearly half of their 17. The U.S. is at less than 20%. They have 31 medals, 13 silvers, 12 bronze. Yikes. So, yes, they lead the medal count, which is great. But the medal count is also, like, you know, a lot of seconds and thirds. They haven't played the national anthem that often so far. Now, let's see how things happen with gymnastics and then with track and field. And let's give, by the way, the men's soccer team, let's give them credit. They made it to the quarterfinals. Yeah. I think it's the first time in 24 years, I think, they made the quarterfinals of the Olympics. So that's good. Because remember, the World Cup's here in 2 years. I have not watched a lot of it. And that's, look, why not? It has nothing to do with the fact it's just been about time. I went up to Williamsport on Friday, Saturday last week to do late day games or night games. So that means not getting back until it's a night game, 11 o'clock at night. Had a night game on Saturday, same story. Didn't get, it was a home game, but didn't get home until after 10. Yesterday I was in Johnstown with Jack, played golf. Then I came back and went to practice. Didn't get out of there until I don't think I walked in until about maybe 8:15 or something like that. And there wasn't anything on the Olympics last night that interested me. Maybe some, because they had like, what, one of the things, I think it was 3-on-3 basketball. I'm like, oh, really? I mean, it was like, it's a playground game. Who cares? And, you know, and it, for the most part, NBC's been good with the coverage. For the most part, and I don't know. Like, Dan Hicks always delivers every time. On swimming, he and Rowdy Gaines are really good. And we've had Rowdy Gaines on the show. Dan Hicks is one of those pros who's good on everything. Well, the swimming pool, he's tremendous. And I haven't watched enough of it to really look at much of anything. There's been a couple things where if I watched a few minutes, I'm like going, yeah, okay. And I, and of course, Noah Eagle's great on basketball. And he's been terrific, which is to be expected, because Noah's a really good, he's one of the top young broadcasters out there. So what do you think of it? I mean, you're the ones watching it. Circumstances have kept me from watching it. Now, when I'm done here today, what am I going to do? I'm going to go over to basketball practice for a little bit. Then I'm going to football practice. Then I do have a game tonight. So I'm not going to see much of anything tonight either. And tomorrow, there's no football practice because you have to have an off day. I know it's only 2 days in, but they're still in class right now in summer session. So you have to have an off day built in. And so I'll go to basketball practice afternoon, football practice after that, then do a Spikes game. Tomorrow, I'll go to basketball practice, no football practice tomorrow, and then I have a Spikes game. So I'm not going to watch much Friday either. Saturday, It's football media day. And then they have a Spikes game. Then they practice on Sunday, football, and then there's a Spikes game. Monday, they're off, but there'll be basketball and football practice that day. Tuesday, I have basketball, football, Spikes game. Wednesday, I have the Purdy tournament, and then I'll get back in time to do a Spikes game. And football's off that day, by the way, so I don't have to worry about that. But I've got the Purdy tournament on Wednesday. Thursday will be basketball. That's going to be the last day for the summer. Football and a Spikes game on Thursday. And then a Spikes game Friday. Let's see. I'm trying to think of the schedule. Ding, 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 ding. But I think Friday there's no game, so I might be able to watch something next Friday. But anyway, just the way it is. Just it's all about schedule. It's not about... I'm not boycotting anything. In life, I don't boycott things. I really could care less. I think we have... Nah, I don't think... Don't worry about it. Just circumstances. And also, there's certain parts of the Olympics I have really a lack of interest in. Yeah. Let's watch the surfing competition. Okay. Well, the first one I watched from Tahiti, whomever it was, got overwhelmed by a wave. The second one I got up, got overwhelmed by a wave. And I said, okay, because anybody know how to do this? I just turned it over. I know I don't know how to do it. Are you watching it? I know that the women's gymnastics drew 12 million viewers, which is a great number in July for anything. At 12 million viewers. And that's a great number. But that's a number you expect from women's gymnastics, too. It always delivers. We'll come back. I mean, the suit hasn't sold anything since the Olympics started, right? That's just a rumor. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory at the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a tremendous service department that backs it up every step of the way with routine, difficult to handle it all with complete ease. It is at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to bring in Dave Spadaro. Do we have Dave yet? Yes, we do.
Hello.
Hello, Dave. How are you, Dave? How are you today?
Good, thank you, Steve. How are you doing?
Doing great. America's not going to find out about much about the Eagles in preseason games, so let's find out from you about how they're doing so far.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to find out much in that way either. They haven't tackled yet. They've worn pads one day. Tonight, of course, is the public practice, and everybody's excited about that. A lot of applause for Saquon Barkley when he steps onto the field for the first time. But, yeah, I mean, just not it's hard to tell. I mean, it's really – this is a different NFL. I'd love to give you the lowdown, but I know that they're rotating through all of their various combinations of personnel, and that's just kind of the way it is right now. But promising, exciting, a lot of optimism, but I can't really tell you who's separated from whom. They haven't tackled yet.
Let me get to that part of it. I mean, when do you really feel the NFL begins to hit stride? I always feel like the first two to maybe into the third game, there's still a feeling out process. And then because now they're tackling in games, that's when it starts to take off, because now they've tackled in games because they're not getting it in practice, really.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. And I think that it's natural to think that way. And then when they go to 18 games, we'll kind of push it back even further. Eventually that's going to happen. We all know that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a little bit of an exercise in patience. But even back in the day when they were doing two-a-days and it was much more physical, the rush to judgment is just too much. And it all changes when you play another opponent. I mean, they've been practicing against each other since the spring, and they know each other. They know the tendencies. Yeah. They know the schemes. So it's very, very unfair to really get a feel for what the Eagles are, who's going to start, the rotations, until they're, I mean, you're right, almost a month into the regular season.
Is there any particular position you're looking at right now where you think there's some competition where it's going to be interesting to see in the end how it plays out in the preseason?
I mean, I look at every position. I mean, every position. Depth at running back, Kenny Pickett at quarterback, depth at wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, some new starters. All of that is very interesting to me. And on the offensive side, and the defensive side, I think you can say it at all three levels. This is a team that has not yet settled on its starters. And so I think you kind of look at that and you think about that at every position, really, at this point. I mean, I find it to be a very fascinating roster with a bunch of young guys from the last three drafts who are
sure. Well, then there's the other part. You mentioned Kenny Pickett in that answer. What kind of pickup do you think he can be? How interesting a pickup was that? Because I know he's expected to be the backup quarterback, but...
Yeah, he's the backup quarterback. Is there a question about that?
Look, it's hard to negotiate 17 games and stay healthy. I mean, quarterbacks especially are going to get hit. That's why I watch NFL games in December. Like, who's that guy?
Right.
I mean, so how interested are you to see how Pickett handles what they do and how well he does it behind a much better offensive line?
A really good offensive line, great skill position people, a coordinator who's proven success. I think that, you know, what Kenny's working with now is a lot different than what he was working with in Pittsburgh, and I think it will benefit him. Mobile quarterback, smart guy, can make all the throws, knows how to win, has won in the NFL, very much knows his role here, supporting Jalen Hurts. And, I mean, from the Eagles' standpoint, look, they want Jalen out here for 17 games in the regular season and a long playoff run, and they want him to be a superstar. They need him to be a superstar. So I think everybody understands the role, but certainly we have seen in the past, you know, knock, 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 2017, the Eagles winning the Super Bowl with a backup quarterback in the game. So it's clearly very, very important, and they wanted to make sure that they had a quarterback who they felt, if he had to play, that they could win games with him. And Gardner Minshew, up and down in his time here, Marcus Mariota last year, really never impressed anyone necessarily. So I think that they feel very, very good about a former first-round pick and a young guy being here right now, and they feel like Kenny's picked up the offense pretty darn well.
Hey, Dave, that's the other part, too. You brought up the 18 games earlier. So big picture here, Eagles aside, we all know it's inevitable and probably has been for 10 years, but what do you think about the NFL playing 18 regular season games?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a tremendous toll on the players, but, like, I get it. I think that there's an insatiable appetite for the NFL from the fans. Look, I work the preseason games, so I would love to keep three preseason games.
Right.
I'm on the sidelines for those games. I love them. They're fun. But from a revenue standpoint, it makes sense to go to 18. It is a tremendous toll. I would like to see the rosters increased. I would like to see the game day rosters increased. I don't have any reason, you know, any understanding of why there's an inactive list. You got a 53-man roster, let all 53 players be eligible to play and active to play on game days. It is ridiculous that you have to have inactive players. It just makes no sense to me. You want to give players a chance to take some reps off? Well, make the roster a little bit larger. But I think it's inevitable. I think given all of these television deals, you know, you see what Netflix pays for Christmas Day games. The moral of the story is that all of these networks, all of these streaming units, they want games. They are willing to pay whatever it takes to have NFL football on their channels.
You mentioned being on the sidelines, you know, for TV broadcasts for preseason games. What are some of the angles that you look at, especially when the fans, now Eagle fans are pretty good about knowing every guy that's in camp. That's the fan, but the casual fan may not. So what are your responsibilities in that part to help them learn who some of these people are and might be able to do to help the team?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we don't expect the Eagles to play their starters much, if at all. That's just kind of what Nick has done for 3 years here. And so the objective of preseason is to, and the training camp period, is to go from 90 players to 53 players. And, you know, Howie Roseman told me a couple of weeks ago when camp started that his biggest nightmare is cutting players that are, that then go on to have great careers elsewhere. You know, like, he wants to make sure that he keeps the best 53 and the 16-man practice squad. So keep that in mind. That's the top-level objective of this summer. And within that, you know, establishing depth charts, getting these schemes integrated, really building chemistry among the players and the coaching staff. So going into a preseason broadcast, you understand that everybody knows Jalen Hurts, and everybody knows A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, and they're not going to play. So you want to introduce them to the new players, Saquon Barkley and some of, and the rookie class, and then some long-shot good stories of players who are making runs to the roster. And I think that is what is important. And as we see the season play out, it's so vital that you have depth and that you can turn to anyone. And we understand that throughout the course of this long, long regular season and hopefully postseason, you're going to need everybody on the 53 and on the practice squad to really make a contribution.
And because you're so invested doing the sideline, which means you're really invested in the stories of the team, what does that role do to help you as the season goes along in terms of giving you perspective on a couple of angles?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's really fun. And it is like, it is that I'm trying to, I mean, I have a very clear working understanding of what the Eagles are, who they are, what they've been thinking since the end of the 2023 season. And so I want to bring that to the viewing audience, and with Ross Tucker and Scott Graham in Canada. I mean, we really have a great broadcast team, and we've worked together for a long time, and that is our mission, to educate the fans, to entertain the fans. And then as you carry through the season, how do some of these young great stories, how do they sustain through the remainder of the regular season? You know, we've had some young guys make moves in the preseason and at times flame out and at times get better and better and better. And so you kind of want to track the progress and how do they react to the bright light for the first time. Even though it's the preseason, it's a big deal. You know, tonight is an open practice at Lincoln Financial Field, and there could be, I don't know, 40,000, 50,000 fans there. And while it's just a practice, Steve, for these players coming out on the field for the first time, it's a big deal. It's a memorable moment. They learn the mechanics of going from the locker room through the tunnel to the field and how that works. So all of that, it's just such an interesting day-by-day process, and you just see it build and build and build. And as you get to the late in the season, that's when it really matters, as unfortunately we saw last year with the Eagles when they went from 10-1 to 11-6 and then ultimately losing in the playoffs to Tampa Bay.
And what about the angle of coordinators with this team? How interested are you in terms of their approach to what you're seeing?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, again, we're not going to see a lot of the schemes in these preseason games. This is just the basics. They want to evaluate the players and give the players an opportunity to run plays that they're really comfortable with and that they've got an innate knowledge about. So, and then they'll get into game planning later. But look, I think it's fascinating. What is Vic Fangio going to do with a defense that's got new talent up and down at all three levels? What is Kellen Moore going to do to bring this offense to a new level, to cut down the giveaways from last year, to get Jalen Hurts back as a dominant running threat, which, you know, last year the Eagles just didn't give him that opportunity to really take advantage. I felt that teams came in to play the Eagles, and the first thing they wanted to do is they wanted to take Jalen's
abilities to kill with his legs out of the equation, and the Eagles just didn't counter that. So it is a really wonderful chess match, and I've really been impressed with Kellen and with Vic, and they've had success where they've gone. And but yet we have not seen the real kind of manifestation of that scheme and of that the new playbook. What usually happens, Steve, is that, you know, the preseason ends, the practices then are closed for 2 weeks prior to the start of the regular season, and that's when you really see the Eagles put stuff in specifically for, in this instance, the Green Bay Packers in September. Right.
Do you have time for one more question?
I sure do.
Okay, I just want to make sure, because I know you've got something else you have
There's the Brandon Graham's. We're doing some interviews. We got the practice tonight. It's a fun time. Really fun day, actually.
It is a fun day, and I don't want to take up too much more of it. So I just want to ask this.
I love coming on with you. You're awesome.
I appreciate it. Dave, what about the ability to judge an intangible? And I don't mean the preseason necessarily, but even in the first couple of games, just like, can you see a relationship building between Kellen Moore and Jalen Hurts? Can you see a relationship building between a Vic Fangio and maybe a Avante Maddox or Jalen Carter or something like that?
Yeah, I think you see it as the season goes along, and you see that when Jalen, for example, makes a call at the line of scrimmage, understanding that that's what he and Kellen are on the same page. That's kind of when you see that chemistry build. And when you see a linebacker making a check for the defense after the helmet audio is turned off, it turns out to be the right check because he and Vic are on the same page. Haven't really seen it yet, although I will tell you, I think the offenses look great. I think Jalen's been razor sharp. The chemistry with the wide receiver crew is top level right now. I mean, look, there's still things to be worked out at wide receiver. They don't know who the third, fourth, fifth, potentially sixth wide receivers will be. You know, who's your fourth running back if you go that deep? Who's starting at right guard? Who's your number two and number three tight ends? So there's many questions, but I think that I haven't seen a lot of footballs on the ground. I haven't seen a lot of players lined up in the wrong spots. I haven't seen plays being brought back because somebody's messed up the cadence or run the wrong route or done some mistake from a cerebral standpoint. So it tells me that Kellen is communicating the offense well, players are absorbing it, and the methodology is working this early in camp, and we're only 2 weeks into training camp.
Dave, great work. I want to make sure you get to what you have to be at next. Thank you so much for the time you gave us today.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. And let's stay in touch. This should be a really fun preseason as the Eagles build to Sao Paulo, Brazil?
Yeah.
And the Packers.
Nothing like Brazil. Yeah. Okay.
Brazil. Amazing.
I mean, remember, Portuguese is good. All right.
Portuguese is a good thing. That's right. Have a great weekend, Steve. Thanks.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you. Dave Spadaro does an outstanding job. And this half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Simone Biles has returned to the top of the podium. And give the U.S. credit, they have another bronze medal. All right. Simone Biles wins the all-around in the Olympic gymnastics artistic portion. She wins the all-around. Rebecca Andrade of Brazil gets the silver, and Suni Lee gets the bronze medal. So the United States gets gold and bronze in gymnastics as Simone Biles returns to the top of the podium, and a great, great individual comeback for her. After everything that happened in Tokyo that was so bizarre, that only she could understand and live through, she is now back at the top. So congratulations to her, one of the greats of all time, and gold, and Suni Lee gets bronze at the Olympic Games. The U.S. women's basketball team plays Belgium in just a few minutes. And then tonight, we will have preseason football. Now, the women's gymnastics, while live this afternoon, will be replayed tonight on their Y World of Sports format. The Olympic golf is underway. Hideki Matsuyama shot an 8-under par 63 to lead it. Xander Schauffele, 6-under 65, with Joaquin Niemann and Emilio Grillo at 5-under with Thomas Kim. Let's see. John Rahm from Spain is 4-back. Rory McIlroy's 5-back. Where's our guy, Scheffler? Morikawa's 1-under. Just saw his picture yesterday. He won Sonny Hanna. A few years ago, he was the Sonny Hanna champion. Everybody's playing that Sonny Hanna tournament on that course. Where is Scheffler? Ding, ding, ding. Hovland. McIlroy. Ding, 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 ding. Scheffler, 4-under par. Shot 67. So he's 4 shots back. It's kind of difficult. I think the United States is allowed 4. I think they're allowed 4. Wyndham Clark's the 4th American. He's going to struggle to make the cut. He's 4 over par. But you're allowed 4. So. And there you go. So Olympic golf is underway. Xander Schauffele's the defending Olympic gold medalist in golf. All right. And there you are. Ledecky now with 8 gold medals. Says she wants to participate in the 28 games in Los Angeles. Well, geez, in the 1,500 meters. She'll be, what, 31 years old? So she's tied now with Dara Torres, Natalie Coughlin, Jenny Thompson for the most medals by a female swimmer. So good for her. Good for Katie Ledecky. Always a great story. She is one of the best of all time.